What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what started off as a regular day spiraled into something much darker after they decided to hold a seance to contact a recently deceased classmate.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, that's what we do here. We talk about ghost stories. So share it with us. And you can call it in if you want to leave us a voicemail, 855-853-4802. If you'd rather write it down, do that. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Be a premium subscriber if you want. You get no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, I get
How's
to see you soon.
Yeah,
we are
very soon.
Days away. 6 days. Who's counting?
It's crazy. It's been so long since we've seen each other.
I know. Months. Yeah. And the good thing is at least we get to do the show together, so we always get to talk a couple times a week, which we would anyway. But you and I are like Tony and me. Whenever we do episodes, we spend an hour talking before we ever start recording. So, yeah, you got to catch up, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just ordered a new book.
What did you order?
It's called Haunted Baseball: Ghosts, Curses, Legends, and Eerie Events by Mickey Bradley.
Oh, is this a new book?
Let's see. I don't think it's new. No, 2007.
Okay.
So it's not new. But, you know, when baseball season comes around, I always kind of like to put two of my favorite things together, baseball and ghosts. And I am a true believer that athletes are superstitious. They all are. And they will try to tell you they aren't. Like when I taught at the college level, I had lots of athletes in classes. And I would say, are you superstitious? And they would say, no. And I'd say, really, you're not. You know, they go, oh, no. And I'd say, so if you went to the free throw line and you didn't bounce the ball
four times,
what would happen? You know, I said, I do also understand that you bounce the ball just to for a rhythm, but also in your head, you'll think you can't do it without that. Like something bad will happen if I don't do this exact activity the way it's supposed to be done. Something bad occurs. And that is kind of by definition a superstition. But I do think, you know, baseball players in general just kind of have a little bit of a little, you know, interest in the paranormal. I think they kind of go that way. And there is a hotel in St. Petersburg, Florida that a lot of baseball teams stay at called the Vinoy, V-I-N-O-Y, Hotel. And when they go to play Tampa Bay Rays, right? They often will stay at this hotel. Now, apparently there are two ghosts that are fairly common in the hotel. There's a woman in white who was a socialite who had been murdered by her husband. He pushed her down the stairs. You know, she wears this long white flowing dress and appears to have a very sour disposition. Like her face is, she always looks like
pissy.
She's dismayed,
she's just
pissy. You know. She's just not happy about the way things are. The second ghost is a man dressed in a tux with long tails and a top hat. He stands at the top of the stairs, and he's looking down the stairs at guests or staff or whoever. And as they walk up the stairs, he disappears.
Mm.
This hotel opened in 1925, and lots of celebrities and people have stayed there. It's a nice place. It was closed for a while during World War II, where I believe the army stayed, you know, had it so that they could use it for things and keep people there. So, you know, there's that kind of energy, too, that happened in the hotel. But players report seeing entities in their rooms, the feeling of somebody pressing on the chest. Plumbing, of course, turning off and on. That's a pretty common one in hotels we hear. Clocks that, you know, turn off. Doors that are locked, they can't get out. Doors that are wide open. Doors that slam. One I thought was really interesting. Well, two of them that I thought were interesting is several baseball players said they took a shower and then looked down and there were coins.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the tub. Or the shower area. And I thought, that's interesting.
Especially you would notice that getting
in.
And
the other thing, and this might be the thing that really got me to buy the book, was that paintings came to life.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, it's by Haunted Baseball, Ghosts, Curses, Legends, and Eerie Events. Got it off of the Amazon by Mickey Bradley. So I'm just giving him a little shout out there if any of you guys are interested about, if you love baseball and ghosts, hey, win-win.
God, no shit.
Well, and it gets really good reviews too, by the way. Really good.
Because we've talked about Mookie Betts before in that hotel. I think it's in Milwaukee that he refuses to stay in.
Yeah, that's another one.
Mm-hmm. But that would be before this book was written, I'm getting, or after this book.
No, he also talks about that hotel in this book, and that is the Pfister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He talks about that one too in this book.
Interesting. Well, let us know when you read it, if you like it.
Yeah. I thought that would be fun. And like I said, it got really good reviews too. People seem to really enjoy reading it.
I love ghost stories.
Yeah. And it also talks about curses, you know, like the curse of the goat in Chicago and Bambino's curse and, you know, these things. So anyway, I will let you know.
Well, and there was one, because the superstition reminds me of once I was watching an All-Star game and I can't remember if it was Bryce Harper or who they were talking to who was mic'd up. And they're kind of talking to him, and they're like, hey, so are you superstitious? And he goes, I wouldn't say I'm superstitious, maybe just a little stitious.
A little stitious?
That made me laugh. I think that's who it was.
They are the most stitious people.
They are a little stitious.
They are so stitious. Like, I've been chewed out. My son was a baseball player through college, and I've been chewed out because I washed a T-shirt. That was his lucky T-shirt, and he hadn't washed it, and they'd won every game.
And now you washed it, and they're going to
lose.
And now
I washed it. That's a big mess, right? See, that's superstition.
That's not a little stitious.
No, that's superstitious.
Well, here is our story about a seance.
Ooh, okay.
So it says, which I've never done. I think when I was a kid, we tried to do it before. Like when we were little, but I've seances as an adult.
Well, I just have mixed feelings about, well, several things, but should we?
Yeah. You know? If you were successful in your seance, what happens to the spirits you conjured?
Mm-hmm.
They came around. Do they just go back or do they stick around you and go home with you?
That's what I'm saying. Like, like, should we be dabbling in bringing something back that maybe is okay where it is and fine? You know what I mean? Is maybe that was what was supposed to happen, and now we did this, and now maybe we've trapped it over here or something? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about bringing spirits back. I mean, I want to talk to my dad as much as anybody else who's lost their father, but I don't want to conjure him.
There's something about conjuring. Yeah,
the word conjuring is a little scary in its own right, but the same, I don't know.
I don't like those two things, dad and conjuring, in the same sentence.
Yeah.
Grandma conjuring. I don't like that either.
If our listeners have had some experiences one way or the other, right? Like they had a good experience with a seance, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah. I'd like to know about that. I've talked to people in the Grave Talks who do it frequently, and they host seances and they teach people how to do seances. I'm like, you go with that, but I'm not doing it.
Let us know if you think it's a good thing and why. And, you know, I would just like, because I have mixed feelings. I can't decide whether this is something I would want to participate in or not. Nope. So I would like to know how people feel about it.
I'm not doing it. I'm just not in.
Okay.
I'll be you know what? I am going to go watch some Grey's Anatomy and y'all do your seance. Talk to you later. I guess see what Meredith is up to. Okay, well, here's the story. It says, back in 2014, I enrolled in a small tech college in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, about an hour outside of Pittsburgh. Ironically, I wasn't there for a tech-related program. I had visited for a two-week summer trial before officially enrolling in the winter of 2015 just to get a feel for the campus, the people, the vibe. The summer visit started off normal enough, but it didn't take long before things took a strange turn. One night, a group of us, me, a few guys, and a couple of girls, got bored and decided to mess around with something we probably shouldn't have, a seance. We had heard whispers that a student had tragically passed away the weekend before I arrived. Apparently, he had overdosed on his medication. That rumor alone was enough to pique our curiosity. So with the lights dimmed and a nervous energy in the room, we lit candles and tried to contact him. That right there, everything in me right now is screaming, that's a bad idea. So yeah, we'll see. I don't care. And they can't pressure me into that. I'd be like,
Well, and it's even weirder. It's not somebody they knew.
No, they just heard the rumor. So it says, nothing happened at first. We asked the usual questions, half serious and half joking. It was more about the thrill of doing something creepy than actually expecting a response. But then John, one of the guys with us, froze and pointed toward the bathroom door, which was open, and he said he saw something in the window. I instinctively grabbed my phone and took a few photos in the direction he was pointing. Later, when I looked through the windows, one stopped me cold. In the photo just beyond the doorway were two glowing red eyes. They weren't reflections or tricks of the light. They looked like eyes staring directly at us. We all passed the phone around trying to come up with an explanation, and none of us could. The worst part was I lost that photo when I had to get a new phone a few months later. I wish I still had it, just to prove I wasn't imagining it. That fall, I officially enrolled and returned to campus in the winter of 2015. That's when things really ramped up. My roommate Jay had also been with us during the summer seance. We joked about the creepy stuff we'd seen, but deep down, I think both of us were uneasy. It wasn't long before strange things started happening again. I noticed my personal items moved or missing, even though no one else had access to our room. One day, my toothbrush would be in a different spot. Another day, a pair of socks would disappear, only to reappear in a drawer I never used. At first, I chalked it up to being forgetful, but then Jay started noticing it too. Okay, I'm going to say right there, you could forgetfully put socks anywhere, but not a toothbrush. You don't ever put your toothbrush anyplace else.
Do you ever walk out of the room with your toothbrush and then
exactly.
just set it down?
And then you're in your room and you don't rinse your toothbrush or rinse your mouth.
Or you just rinse your mouth.
You know? Mm-hmm. So the toothbrush thing is weird. The worst were the nights. Around 2 or 3 in the morning, always in that same dead hour, we'd both hear the soft sound of a woman's voice just outside our door. It wasn't talking. It was more like humming or whispering, but it was definitely feminine. Each time we heard it, we'd swing the door open, expecting to find someone standing there, but every time, nothing, no one in the hallway. It made no sense. The dorm had strict curfews. No one was allowed out of their rooms after 11 p.m. on weeknights and 2 a.m. on weekends. We'd sometimes walk the halls to see if anyone else was up, but they were always empty and very still. One morning really stuck with me. My brother had mailed me a John Lennon poster that I'd put above my bed using a couple thumbtacks. That day, I had set an alarm for 5:45 a.m. to catch an early train home. I overslept by about 15 minutes, which wasn't like me, and then out of nowhere, the poster fell to the floor with a loud thud. It startled me awake. The timing was too perfect. It was like something didn't want me to miss my train. I grabbed my things and left as fast as I could. By the time the end of the term came around, I couldn't wait to leave. The cold Johnstown winter, the late night whispers, the missing items, the ever-present feeling of being watched, that was enough for a lifetime. I was happy to be done with the place. Whatever was there, I hope it stayed behind. I've had time to reflect. Maybe there's a logical explanation for some of it, but deep down I know what I experienced and I never felt alone. And I'm not sure who wrote that in. I get the feeling, and I do think that's weird that, like, he or she had overslept, and then a poster would fall off your wall and wake you up. And it's like, oh, my God, shit, gotta go.
Now, can we chalk it up to coincidence?
Could be.
I guess we could. You know, it's kind of a little too much of a coincidence. I want to go back to the seance business. Do you think that they stirred something up and that's what did it?
No.
Or do you think this place was haunted?
The place was haunted.
That's what I think. They might have stirred something up, but I feel like maybe something was going on in this place to begin with.
I do too.
You know.
I don't think anything was stirred up. And I'd be curious to what other students have experienced in that building and if other people experienced things. And if not, if no one historically has ever had an experience, I'd be like, maybe you did conjure something up.
And once again, this is just exactly what we're afraid of. If that is the truth and they actually conjured this thing up, then apparently it's still here sticking around. Right? Afterwards.
Exactly.
Because, you know, it keeps going on. I more feel like the place was already haunted. And we have a lot of college-related stories of hauntings. And this incident with this student that apparently died of, you know, an accidental overdose or whatever. You know, we hear these kinds of stories that come out of college campuses, and I wonder, because they're taken so unexpectedly, so young, when you would not expect to lose somebody, if they don't they just don't realize they're gone.
Mm-hmm. I could see
and
that.
And they just are still there. And so I'm wondering, I think they could still have something there and, you know, tried to make contact, and there were the red eyes that they'd seen, and more than one person saw it, right? It wasn't just probably a whole bunch of people saw it when they showed
the
picture.
Well, they saw the picture, yeah.
Yeah, and so forth. I just cannot help but feel, by the way he discussed this place, that it just was haunted anyway.
But you know, the thing about the picture too, I haven't seen the picture. And the picture's gone. That's why you should have posted it on social media.
That's right.
But because nothing ever happens.
Because
unless
it
you
lives
post it
forever,
yes.
Right?
Sometimes, like the other day, somebody posted this picture in some paranormal group I belong to on Facebook. And they're like, oh my God, look at this. And so I'm like, what the hell are we looking at? And I'm staring at the picture. I never did see it. And it was funny because half the comments were like, oh my God, can you believe that? And the other half are, what are you guys all seeing? So sometimes with a photo, especially when you've put yourself into a creepy environment, like you're having a seance, something happens, you snap the pictures, you see this, is it really there? Or do you, you know what I mean by, like, mm-hmm. that picture I saw the other day? I never did. And I looked at the picture trying to figure out what the hell they were all talking about. Then mm-hmm. I'm like, if it's so creepy, why can't I see it?
Yeah.
It's, and so sometimes I wonder, you get yourself all worked up and then it's like, oh my God, I see it too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
You know, I just feel like this place was haunted.
I do too.
To begin with.
I totally do.
And they felt that, or they wouldn't have even tried to do the seance, connect with the
yeah.
spirits. They all felt it, I think. And that's what made them want to do it anyway.
I hope that he or she, when the John Lennon poster fell off the wall, acknowledged it and said thank you.
That's
it's
right.
It's like, thank you very much for helping me catch my train.
That's right.
We have another
imagine
story.
If there's no heaven.
Look at you and your John Lennon lyrics. Here's another story about college.
Okay.
It's about a dorm.
Oh, there. Okay.
It says, I'm a new listener to your podcast, and I've been completely hooked binge listening episodes while I'm at work. So not long after starting my first one, something stirred in the back of my mind. A memory came rushing back, an experience I had completely forgotten about, or rather something that happened in my family. This didn't happen directly to me, but to my parents and my youngest sister. Still, it's something that's lingered in our home for years, and I've often wondered if it's still with us. We moved into our house when I was 4 years old. I'm almost 21 now, so this house has been our home for most of my life. When I was a teenager, my mom sat me down and told me something I'd never heard before. She said that in the first few years of living there, she would occasionally see a young girl around my age at the time running through the hallway that leads to the bedrooms. This would always happen at night. At first, she thought it was just me. I was known to be a bit of a goofy kid, and she assumed I was just running around playing and trying to sneak into her room. But whenever she got up to tell me to go to bed, she'd find her room empty and me sound asleep in my room. It happened more than once, the same quick darting figure, the same hallway, the same confusion. She never told me about it when I was younger, probably not wanting to scare me, but she told me that even after she realized it wasn't me, she would still catch glimpses of this little girl. There was also strange occurrences, lights turning on by themselves, doors creaking open when no one was near them. No one else in the house ever saw the girl, not until a few years later. By then, we'd been living there for about 3 years. My youngest sister was around 2 years old. And you know how toddlers sometimes have imaginary friends. Well, one day, my mom walked into my sister's room and found her sitting on the floor having what seemed like a full conversation with no one. She asked my sister who she was talking to, and my sister, without hesitation, said, "The little girl who died." She didn't give any extra details. She didn't try to explain it away. But the matter-of-fact way my mom said it, that the way kids do when they're just telling you what they see, was haunting. I was older by then, and I hadn't seen or felt anything myself, so I started digging around because I wanted some answers. I looked into the history of the house. I searched for anything about a little girl dying there, and I found nothing. No tragic stories, no articles, no deaths recorded on the property. So who was the little girl? In recent years, especially as I've gotten older and begun facing my own battles with depression and anxiety, I've started to feel something in the house, particularly something in my room. I'll be lying there at night, often at my lowest moments, and I feel it, that sense that someone's there watching. Not in a malicious way, just a presence. It doesn't feel threatening. It's more like someone checking in. Parts of me wonders if it's her, the same little girl my mom used to see, the one my sister once talked to. Maybe she's still there, and maybe she never left. Maybe she knows what it feels like to be sad and just wants to keep someone company who understands. I don't have answers. I don't know who she is or where she came from, but after all these years, I've learned to accept that not everything has a neat explanation. Some things just are. Thank you for giving people like me a space to share these stories. Thank you once again, Paige. That's interesting to me. because it could go two ways. It could be there's definitely something paranormal in the house. And then just knowing the backstory of what her mom's seen, it can also kind of, because that's how my mind works. If you were to tell me, because Kathy and I have stayed places before, and I have told her, if you have any experience at in this hotel, do not tell me till we leave. More than once.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because once I know it, then I start like hearing things and imagining things and then going, what was that? What was that? So sometimes I think the power of hearing a story like that. Yeah. So I wonder if that's part of it as well. But I do like the idea of her having anxiety and depression and this little girl feeling compassion for her. I kind of like that idea too.
I kind of do too. And yet, you know, one of the things she said that I really agree with is that, and one of the reasons I think it's hard to make a scary movie is because in real life, there is no tying it up with a bow and an ending and, oh, now we all understand it, right? Because that's not the way it works. You live in a maybe a place that, you know, feels haunted, feels like you're being watched, whatever, and you never get an answer.
Right.
You know, and I always hoped that that's one of the things when I die is I get answers to stuff like that.
But then you're
like,
dead.
Was there really something there?
Yeah, but then you're dead and it's like, man, I figured it out, y'all. And you can't tell anybody.
I know, and you can't share it. But I want to know, like, was there somebody standing behind the door that night that they knocked on the door? And,
yeah,
you know,
what
whatever.
Was
there this? Was it what when that time this thing happened? And I think Paige is so right that there just isn't a good explanation. And I think oftentimes that's kind of how they ruin movies is they try to figure out how to bring it all to, you know, some sort of ending. But there's not an ending.
Or
it doesn't, you know.
You know, a lot of scary movies, like they end up turning it into like in Amityville Horror with the blood coming from the walls. That just took it too far.
Or it just gets too silly. Right? It just gets way ridiculous.
It's
and
what
I think
you
they
can't
feel like they have
so
to do
scary.
It for movies for the, you know, effect. But that's not the way it really happens.
Yeah.
Most, I mean, maybe some people have blood coming from their walls of their homes. I would like to hear it if we do have listeners.
That's
that
the only
that
time
happening.
I've ever heard it was in that movie.
But, you know, I think that we want that. We want some reconciliation here. We want to know, but it doesn't work that way. And I think Paige is absolutely right. You and Paige feels it. I believe it. You know, there's just no reason for me not to believe you, Paige, if you're feeling this. Now, is it the little girl? My gut says yes, but I can't, you know, I can't tell you that for a fact, but I kind of think so. What do you think?
It feels like that to me. And you've got some evidence of a haunting because mom has said that she saw her. The sister talked to her. So, but she's totally background. It's not like she's someone who seems to be to want to be seen. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in. The number to call is 855-853-4802. If you prefer to write it down, please do. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And you could be a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, access to thousands and thousands in the archive, all without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories, or just go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&C supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular Sunday. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.